Ramsey TV.
Would you like to hear a list of things that Christianity thinks are eternal? No? Yeah, me neither. But I gotta give them to you because I'm gonna turn something around. After I list these things, I'm gonna turn something around and tell you how things really are. From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, to distinguish it from other peninsulas such as the Korean Peninsula, this is your friend and mine, Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZ TV. I'm your host. The MZ stands for Martin Zender. Listen to this. Christianity thinks these things are eternal. Sin, death, trials, suffering, including torment. Suffering includes torment, and evil. Yeah. Let me go through that again. They're so wonderful. Sin, death. Let's put the word eternal in front of it. And these are the doctrines of Christianity. Eternal sin, eternal death, eternal trials, eternal suffering, eternal torment, eternal evil. And they say that the head of this religion is the Lamb of God. Little lamb. The book of Revelation calls him the Lambkin, which is a baby lamb. The baby lamb came up with all this. Yeah, it's the baby lamb. The baby lamb has a mean streak. Oh, ask the baby lamb. What's the plan for the future, baby lamb? Eternal sin, eternal death, eternal trials, eternal torment, eternal evil. Aren't I cute? Oh, you're adorable. And the people in this religion are in such a cult, and they're so brainwashed, and they're so cuckoo crazy that they buy into it. They look at the little lamb, they look at the cute Jesus who loves the world. He's the image of God, so God is like him. He is like God. They're on the same page. And we're told that all these things are eternal. And they ask you to line up for it. Come to our church. Yeah, I see it on church signs. Make our church your home. Home, that sounds like a wonderful place to me. When I was a kid, I loved my home. I couldn't wait to get home from school. When I saw those school buses pulling up at 2:35 p.m., it was the best time of day because the buses were going to take me home where I had the love of a mother and a father. And they bought TV dinners for me, and they let me watch Gilligan's Island. But the church home that they want you to come to and feel welcome in believes in eternal sin, eternal death, eternal trials, eternal suffering, eternal torment, and eternal evil. Eternal evil. Just make sure you can avoid all these things if you do what the church tells you. But they're nice. Can you believe it? Phyllis, who's handing out donuts in the vestibule, she's an accomplice to the most heinous message, the most hideous satanic organization, worse than the Third Reich Nazi people, worse than Stalin and Pol Pot, because these people keep their enemies alive while they're torturing them. They're all for it. They love it. Well, they pretend not to love it. But when you tell them that it's not true, they don't even ask you to show them, please show us how this eternal stuff that we believe in, eternal sin, death, eternal trial, suffering, evil, tell us how it's not true. You say there's a crack in the wall somewhere? You say that there's a possibility in Scripture that this stuff's not true, that we're reading a translation that mistranslates a couple vital words like Hades and Ion? Wow, please show us. No, they don't do that. You would think that if they really hated the doctrine of eternal torment, please, I can't believe you're telling me that there's a chance this is not true. No, they don't want to hear the evidence because they love it. Now I want to give you a list of things that are temporary. Here's a list of temporary things You ready? Everything I'm going to mention right now is temporary. Sin, death, trials, suffering, which includes torment, and evil. Every single one of those things is temporary. Because these things are the foils against which God reveals the opposite of these things. Because we are creatures of contrast, and we cannot know the good things if it weren't for the bad things. Therefore, sin is necessary in order to reveal salvation. Death is necessary in order to reveal life. Trials are necessary in order to reveal no trials. I really did teach my kids. Well, I did this with Luke. He was the crazy one. He was the middle son. And I said, Luke, come here. Come upstairs. Now, I want you to sit on the landing here. Maybe he was like 8 years old. I said, bang your head against the wall. And I did it with him. Like, let's bang our heads against the wall. He goes, why are we doing this, Dad? Because now we're going to stop. How's that feel? Great. Exactly. See, I wanted to prove the saying. I wanted to prove the axiom that why do people bang their heads against the wall feel so good when it stops? That's the whole principle of evil. Right there. Suffering is necessary in order to reveal good feelings, joy. Evil is the backdrop, and there's no other backdrop that can reveal good. All this stuff is very simple. But in the genius of God, He keeps the bad things around, sin, death, trial, suffering, which includes torment, evil, just long enough to reveal the good things, just long enough to get that contrast principle locked in so that you never forget it. And now after you've learned about it and you have all those good feelings stored up, then He gets rid of the bad stuff. And I have proof of it. He gets rid of the sin. Sin is temporary. This is the only sane teaching. Death is temporary. Trials are temporary. Don't get used to your trials because they're going to go away. They're going to go away. All of them are going to go away. Don't get too comfortable with your trials. Suffering. That, don't worry. It's going away forever. You're never going to suffer again after we get done with this boot camp. You're never going to suffer again, ever. Can you imagine? No, I can hardly imagine. But why is it going to feel so good because of the... Why is not suffering going to feel so good because of the suffering? It's as simple as that. Because, hey man, why does my head feel so good? You're not banging it. It's not being banged against the wall anymore. Oh, but it continues to feel good. That's because you have a memory of how it used to be banging against the wall. You know what that feels like. So this is going to feel good forever, bro. Evil. Evil's going to be done away with. It would be stupid to keep evil around. The example I have given you before of builders putting up a house, and they have all the ugly equipment out there. They have the bulldozers, the front-end loaders. They have air hammers and all these ugly, ugly tools, scaffolding and everything. And then once the beautiful structure is built, what builder leaves all the ugly tools around? Of course they don't. Now they take it all away. I'll give you the proof here at the end. I'm going to give you the end from the beginning here. Well, not exactly at the beginning, but I will prove to you that everything I just mentioned is temporary, and that Christianity could not be more wrong. Christianity could not be more sick. Christianity could not be more deceiving. And they put Phyllis out front to hand you the donuts. How could it be evil? There's Phyllis. With the cream sticks. Phyllis with the cream sticks. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy shall be abolished, death. That's it. Yeah, I'm a genius here, believing this simple verse. the last enemy will be abolished, death, for the purpose of God becoming all in all. This glorious passage begins in 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, made alive beyond the reach of death. That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. The purpose of this is so God can become all in all, everybody, everything and everybody. And in order for this to happen, all these enemies must be done away with. And they will be, because the last enemy to be done away with is death. Ooh, they think death is eternal. Phyllis thinks death is eternal. But it's not. It's the last enemy. Let me ask you this. Sorry if my logic is showing here. But if death is the last enemy to be abolished, then it makes sense to me that every other enemy will have gone before. Yeah, every other enemy will have gone before. Now, yesterday I gave you verse Romans 8:2, and I showed you that we don't like the law of sin and death, but God was gracious to, in one verse, contrast the law of sin and death with the law of life in Christ Jesus. So I want to prove to you that if you've got one of these things, you've got the other guaranteed. If you're experienced the law of sin and death, you got that? Yeah, you got that. Then you will get the law of life, because it's just as much of a law. And it's universal. Watch this. It's universal. Watch this. Romans 5:18-19. Romans 5:18. Consequently, then, as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, Adam's offense, thus also it is through one righteous act, which is Christ's, for all mankind, the same all mankind, for life's justifying. So, if you find yourself under Adam, it's a guarantee that you will find yourself under Christ. Another witness for you there, I already mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. So I'm showing you these two verses to show you if you have one, you have the other. Oh, here's another one, 1 Corinthians 15:55, I think it is. 1 Corinthians 15:45. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual body also. So if you have a soulish body right now, a body that's conscious, a body that senses the world through the five senses, if you have one of those, you got one of those, then you will have, there's a corresponding spiritual body waiting for you. If there is a soulish body, and there is a spiritual body also, but not first the spiritual, but the soulish, then comes the spiritual. So you see, sin, death, trial, suffering, torment, evil, these things come first. The bad stuff comes first. I, for one, am happy and glad that God does it that way. And then he brings the other stuff later after you've learned your lesson, after you've learned what the good stuff is via the contrast of the bad things. So, are you experiencing the law of sin and death? Then you experience the law of life in Christ Jesus. Are you experiencing the death process working in you because of Adam? Because that one guy did one thing and everybody gets screwed up? Okay. Well, there's another guy that did another thing. It was a much better thing, and everybody gets rescued out of it, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're in Adam, you're in Christ. Guaranteed. Eventually. You will be in Christ eventually. Experiencing the law of sin and death, then you will experience the law of life. We're experiencing it now because we're believers. Do you have a soulish body? Do you have a body that, you know, basically just has this basic understanding of perceiving things, like what it can see, what it can touch, what it can taste, what it can feel, what it can... Yeah, me too. So if you have one of those, then there's another body waiting for you on the other side of the veil of death when resurrection occurs. Now I'm going to give you, as I close here, I'm going to give you verses showing that the second half of the thing is out of proportion to the first half. In other words, you say, well, geez, you know, okay, I see how you say sin is necessary to understand salvation, but is it a wash? Is it even up? Is the salvation just enough to equal the sin? Oh, no, it's out of proportion. I mean, this is the greatest thing going. this sin that we're experiencing now, the death, the trials, the suffering, the evil, it's like, again, I've used this example before, but I love it. It's a great example. It's like you're buying Microsoft stock or you're buying Apple stock in 1977 at $1 or 50 cents per share. And you collect this incredible wealth on a small investment. That's what we're looking at here. So the list of temporary things, it's so temporary. I mean, it seems gargantuan now. It seems like it's never going to end. It just overwhelms us. But I have news for you in the Word of God that the opposite things are way more, way out of proportion, way greater than the other stuff. I'll start with this, Romans 5:15. I was just in Romans 5. Not as the offense, thus also the grace. No, they're not equal. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much rather the grace of the one and the gratuity and grace which is of the one man, Christ Jesus, to the many superabounds. When you see, if by the offense of the one the many died, many is everybody except Adam. It excludes the guy who brought it all in, which is Adam. And when you see, much rather, the grace of God in the gratuity of grace, which is of the one man, Jesus Christ, to the many superabounds, that includes everyone but Christ. So there's only two people accepted here, Adam in bringing everybody into death and Christ in bringing everybody to life. So the many is, you might as well say it's all. It just accepts. See how fine and detailed and exact the scripture is? It just accepts those people through whom the stuff came, whether the condemnation and the death or the liberation and the life. But it's not the same. It's much more. Otherwise, you'd have to tell me that the eating of a piece of fruit is more consequential than a man suffering and dying, not just any man, the Son of God suffering and dying on the cross. No, it's way out of proportion. Here's a verse for you. This is hot. This is hot right here. This is a hot verse. Romans 8:18. Don't forget this one. Romans 8:18. For I am reckoning, Paul speaking, that the sufferings, that was on my list. Sufferings, one of the things that are temporary. I'm reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Does not deserve the glory. That's a concordant version. I don't like that translation. I'm going to turn to the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. Listen to this. I think you're going to like it. Romans 8:18, J.B. Phillips. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. Beautiful. You know, tomorrow I should read Romans 8:18-21 in the Phillips, J.B. Phillips paraphrase. Okay, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Remind me. So, not worthy to be compared. Less than nothing. Does not deserve. Okay? It's because it's much greater. Now, that's a hot verse. There's another one more hot verse I want to give you here on that. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Here it is. You're never going to forget this one. For the momentary lightness of our affliction. What? Momentary lightness of our affliction? How could this man, Paul, call our affliction light? I like that he calls it momentary, which blows up the Christian doctrine that it's eternal. Affliction is eternal. Suffering is eternal. Let's read the stuff that makes sense here. This is the stuff inspired by the Holy Spirit. For the momentary, not eternal, momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us a transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory. So, how's this for strangeness? Paul here is calling the affliction light and the glory burdensome. I'm going to end with this. Paul is calling the affliction, the suffering, the death, the trials, the evil, the torment, things that we're going through now, the sin. He's calling these things, two things. He's calling them light. How can they possibly be light? Only when compared to the stuff that's coming afterwards. So he's calling them light. And he's calling them, what else does he call them? Momentary. momentary. What we're going through now is light and momentary compared to the good ends of these things that are temporary, which would be salvation, life, no trials, feeling good forever, and never being able to die again, and reveling in glory and seeing Jesus Christ every day and like floating around and being happy, 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 no more tears ever. All right, that stuff is lasting. That stuff is eternal. That stuff is eternal. It's this stuff that's temporary. It's this stuff that's temporary. Sin, death, trials, suffering, which includes torment, evil. It's these things that are temporary. Seems to me like Christianity has everything backwards. Yep.